Hi, this is Bob Enyart. To give you an idea of how the political dynamics continue year in and year out from one presidential administration to another, one campaign to another, let's go into our archives back in 2005 and listen in to a show we did on the nomination of who is now Chief Justice John Roberts, who, not surprisingly to our audience, is radically pro-homosexual. So let's listen in.
Warning, warning, it's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission to God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, John Roberts is the news today, and so we'll be talking about him, Bush's nominee to the U.S. Supreme Court, and his Senate confirmation hearing is underway. And Christians have been supporting him and lobbying for him to be confirmed by the Senate. Not all Christians, but the vast majority of our conservative, pro-life Christian ministries. And we, from within minutes of Bush announcing Roberts as his selection, we put out a press release strongly, strongly urging our Christian leaders to reverse their own positions and oppose him as for being confirmed, because he's the enemy of Christian morality. And, of course, the Christian pro-life leaders. Now, when we put out that press release, we beat the National Christian Ministries in that. I mean, we had our press release out, you know, almost immediately. But we knew that they would lobby for his confirmation. Regardless of the evidence against him, we knew that they would do that. Now, why? Why did we make that assessment? Because he was being nominated by a Republican president, and Republican presidents have packed the courts with pro-choice judges and pro-homosexual judges, and pro-evolution judges, generally anti-Christian morality judges, pro-pornography judges, pro-adultery judges, pro-fornication judges, pro-homosexuality judges. Did I say that already? This is what our Republican presidents have packed the federal judiciary with, these kinds of judges. And the Christian leaders, the national Christian leadership, decision after decision, they're appalled, they're aghast, they're beside themselves, which I think is the best expression to describe them, because they are beside themselves with frustration at these destructive decisions. But they should realize that the decisions are being written by the judges that they've supported. So that in your typical week, when James Dobson is so frustrated, and I love James Dobson, he's one of our best Christian leaders, when he's frustrated with a decision by the Supreme Court, he should remind his audience that these are judges that his political strategy for the last quarter century has put in office. The same thing with the 11th Circuit. And you name the circuit. And it's typically our judges, the ones we conservative pro-lifers, our political effort, has put these judges in office. And time after time, we lobby for the ones who are the enemies of Christian morality. So now we have, this is a trip. Now we have John Roberts in his confirmation hearing today, and he's explicitly stated what we told people that he believes, what he's admitted in the past, that Roe v. Wade is settled law. It's a significant precedent of the U.S. Supreme Court, and it's entitled to respect, right? It's entitled to respect because it's been upheld repeatedly by the Supreme Court. What conservative Christians, what we should want in a judge, now, all of our national Christian leaders will not say what I'm about to say. They will not say it. They are committed to not saying these words. All right. When it comes to our political influence on our country as the body of Christ, as Christians, our national Christian leaders will not say that we want a judge who fears God. They will not say that. That is anathema to them. They've adopted a strategy of legal positivism where man's law in the Constitution takes authority above God, has been elevated above God, and so we can only appeal to man's law. That's it. We can no longer really act like Christians, because the thing that Christians do is they Christianize things. That's what Christians do. They Christianize things. You take a person, Millie. Where's Millie? She was in this studio yesterday in the office. She's not a Christian. We try to Christianize her. You take a culture, a society that's not Christian, you send in missionaries, you try to Christianize it so that the culture could be blessed by not ignoring God or cursing God, but by submitting to God and honoring God. And so our Christian leaders will not. They've made a strategic decision that they will not call for judges who fear God. They think that's inappropriate. And they will not say that we need judges who will protect an unborn child's right to life. They won't even say that anymore. Right? When John Roberts was nominated by Bush and the media called Focus on the Family, a spokesman there, spokeswoman, Carrie Gordon Earle, they asked her about his position on Roe v. Wade. And I'm not surprised she didn't want to talk about that since he's pro-choice. But she found a convenient way not to talk about it. This is what she said. She said, well, we're actually more concerned on his position on the Constitution, if he's a strict constructionist, than we are about Roe v. Wade. So now we Christians tend to forget that abortion is the murder of an innocent child. Put Carrie Gordon Earle in Focus on the Family in Germany 60 years ago, and that's not like saying make-believe they're aliens fighting the Clone Wars. That's just 60 years ago in Europe. And put them there and have them be the same people they are today. Instead of it being unborn children who are being slaughtered by the millions, it's Jews. And bowing to the political correctness of the day, if Carrie Gordon Earle would be asked, well, do you support this person being nominated for this position in government? What is the person's position on the Holocaust, on killing Jews? And she could say, well, we're not really concerned as much about what he thinks about killing Jews as we are concerned his opinion on the Weimar Constitution. Because you see, the Weimar Constitution, that was a democratic constitution. Now, that's something to be concerned about, democracy. So we elevate man's law above God. That's what legal positivism is. And where the Bible explicitly says, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of it. We are ashamed of it. Because the law is the great tutor to lead men to Christ. And the law explicitly says, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not murder. So we are afraid to call for judges who fear God and will protect the innocent. Because we, our Christian leaders, have been convinced that the Constitution is the ultimate goal. And they're wrong. It's not. I have news for our Christian community. The world existed before the Constitution was written or ratified. The world existed. America existed. We existed. We were a country before the Constitution was ratified. We had a Constitution before the current Constitution that we just blew off. And America, we look at it and we say, how did it become so wicked? Well, look at the democracy that was written into the Constitution in the House of Representatives, where the people have a major influence on the government, and the people continue to increase the authority they have over government, so that today you have conservatives who are so confused they can't mention the right to free speech without calling it a First Amendment right. They can't mention the right to own a gun without calling it a Second Amendment right. So that the conservative Christians who are supposed to be the ones to protect our rights and to teach people the difference between right from wrong, are so utterly confused, and they've turned the Constitution into God. That's what they've done. And so, no, we, Christian leaders, we don't want a judge who fears God. At least if we do, we're going to keep it a secret. What we want is somebody like John Roberts, somebody who is more committed to the process than to righteousness. And in this Sunday, we're flying down to Florida to speak with D. James Kennedy's ministry down there. Brian Rohrbaugh and I, he's one of the Columbine dads, dear friend. And we're going to go down there and give the same presentation that the elders of Denver Bible Church gave to Focus on the Family back a couple months ago on Christian political strategy, showing that our Christian leadership in America has become so extraordinarily liberal that in 40 years we have utterly taken the law and stood it on its head, and the things that were against the law for 3,500 years explicitly in Judeo-Christian cultures, crimes, sins that were also crimes, have now been decriminalized, and our Christian leaders have effectively joined the humanist, Hillary, Hollywood, and the homosexuals, and now our Christian leaders have adopted a new view on what should be legal and what should not be legal. I got the current issue of, well, no, this is the August issue of the American Family Association. It's the one I just read. I love this publication. And they don't know if homosexuality should be a crime or not. That's Don Wildman, Tim Wildman. And I get tired pointing out that we really like these people. These are good people. But they're so confused. So John Roberts, he said today, regarding Roe v. Wade, that's the 1973 ruling that's led to the murder of 50 million babies in America. He said that the ruling, quote, is settled as a precedent of the court, and it's entitled to respect. Well, why would it be entitled to respect? How about the decision to kill Jews in Germany? You know, there were judges who we tried at Nuremberg. There were lawyers who we tried at Nuremberg who we put to death. And their defense was, well, it was the law. It was the precedent. I was only doing my job. My job was up to uphold the law. And we executed people in Germany for acting on these principles that John Roberts brags about. And not one of our Christian leaders in America can see clearly enough to condemn him for this legal positivism. And they're hoping beyond hope, against reason, they're hoping that maybe he's just lying to everyone. Maybe he's been lying all this time when he says that what's important in his career is the process. It's the rules. Is it justice? No, justice has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. It's the rules. What's that Latin phrase? Our lawyers like to speak in Latin.
Stare decisis.
Stare decisis. Who said that? I heard somebody say that.
Stare decisis.
Who said that? Stare decisis. All right. That's a legal principle by which if there's a precedent and it's been around for a while, then you should go with it. Now, where's the justice in that? Where's justice? Where's righteousness? Where's truth? Well, if it's the way we've always been doing it that way. Yeah, but it's wrong. We've always been doing it that way. Yeah, but John Roberts, killing an unborn child is murder. Yeah, but we've always been doing it that way. And the Constitution doesn't mention murder. And it doesn't speak directly about unborn children. Oh, I know. It talks about our posterity. But the Supreme Court has already ruled that unborn children are not people. And they're not citizens. And so it's settled precedent of the court, and it's entitled to respect, and there's nothing in my personal views that would prevent me from upholding Roe v. Wade. Remember he said that? Yeah, that's John Roberts. Will the real John Roberts please stand up? Well, this is from our press release that we put out within an hour or so of his name being leaked. Will the real John Roberts please stand up? Does Supreme Court nominee Roberts believe that abortion is the unjust taking of innocent life and that the government must protect unborn children? The answer to these questions is demonstrably no. In the past, Roberts has argued against Roe v. Wade and defended pro-lifers. That's true. However, in 2003, in his confirmation hearing for the D.C. Circuit, federal judiciary, Roberts said, Roe v. Wade is the settled law of the land. There is nothing in my personal views that would prevent me from fully and faithfully applying that precedent. He reaffirmed that today. He's affirmed that with his entire career. It would be like blasphemy to him for him to issue a ruling because it was right or moral or just and not based on process. That would be blasphemous to him because his allegiance, his loyalty, his worship is to the system. It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. That John Roberts, you could tattoo that on him in his life would illustrate it. It is no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. And so what did we find out about Amendment 2? Colorado worked to pass a reasonable law that tried to slow down the homosexual agenda by saying that you had a right not to hire a homosexual if you're renting, you know, an apartment in your home, upstairs, downstairs, and two homosexuals came to rent. You didn't want to rent to them. You had a right not to rent to them. And that passed, Amendment 2 in Colorado, last decade. And so that passed, and it went to the U.S. Supreme Court immediately, right? A Denver judge, pro-homosexual judge, he ruled it unconstitutional, went to the U.S. Supreme Court. And John Roberts, turns out he was a key player. Now, the information we were told about him and his work for the homosexuals was misinformation. And I'm hoping our Christian leaders who gave us that misinformation will correct themselves. Because even if it was wishful thinking, it's now it should be obvious to them that it was false. And if you don't correct it, then it's deceitful. And Christians are typically misinformed by our leaders. I guess our leaders think Christians shouldn't really know the truth and should just do what we tell them to do. So call your senator and tell him to vote for John Roberts. So when the story came out that John Roberts played a significant role in overturning Amendment 2 and giving the homosexuals at that time their most significant legal victory at the U.S. Supreme Court, you see what he did? He was one of the most effective Supreme Court lawyers in Washington. His expertise was in oral arguments before the Supreme Court. And so his law firm was asked to help the Colorado homosexuals to overturn that our law at the Supreme Court. And he was asked, and he, from all accounts, he aggressively agreed and participated in a significant way. He crafted the oral arguments, and he succeeded. He succeeded. Now, this is what we were told by some of our Christian leaders. We were told this. It was a pro bono case. It was. And he basically had no choice. It was a condition of employment. It was as though his secretary was typing up something, and you're going to hold it against her. Now, that was misinformation. John Roberts was a partner in one of the most powerful law firms in Washington, D.C. He was one of the most successful litigants at the U.S. Supreme Court. He didn't have to take that case. He wouldn't have been fired if he didn't. He was a partner, which means he's one of the owners. So our Christian leaders have misinformed us, telling millions of Christians in the venues this has been said, millions of Christians that, well, he just had to do it. It was just part of his job requirements. That was not true. And if it's not corrected, then it's a lie. If misinformation on something important is left intentionally uncorrected, it's a lie. And it calls into question the integrity of the people spreading the lies. So John Roberts aggressively worked to overturn Colorado's law to try to slow down the homosexual agenda. And he has stated repeatedly that there's nothing in his personal views that would prevent him from fully and faithfully applying the precedent of Roe v. Wade. It's the settled law of the land. You got that? It's the settled law of the land, and it is entitled to respect. Okay, so that's John Roberts. Now, by the way, I'm a little frustrated, can you tell? Because it's so easy to forecast into the future. It's just so easy. And Christianity will be further hurt and disadvantaged by rulings from John Roberts. And, you know, where in the Constitution does it say homosexuals, well, anything about homosexuals? Doesn't say anything. And about abortion. Well, you could get it indirectly, but stare decisis, whatever Latin phrase, that's, you know, that could trump anything the Constitution says subtly. And how about on pornography? What does the Constitution say about pornography? We got plenty of precedent about that. How about our godless public schools? What does the Constitution say about that? What does the Constitution say about America legalizing adultery and the divorce rate going to epidemic proportion? What does the Constitution say about that? All the crucial things that are so devastating, the things that are tearing apart families in America, James Dobson is willing to say, well, I'm going to entrust it to the Constitution. And the Constitution doesn't address those issues. And we're ashamed as Christian leaders to say that we need to look to God, and we need governing officials and judges who fear God. That's what we need to say. Now, let's go to the phones. Our number is 1-800-8-NYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. And in Indiana, Kevin, welcome to Bob NYARD Live.
Hey, Bob. How you doing, my friend?
Great, sir.
It's been a while since I talked to you.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Real quick, my question was, I just read your book, The Plot, which absolutely I think is fabulous.
Oh, thank you so very much. And, hey, did somebody put you up to plugging that or what?
No, not really.
Okay.
I just...
All right, because we sell that, and that's one of the things that's kept us on the air all this time. It's a 320-page?
Yes.
Manuscript for $49.95.
And it's excellent reading. I highly recommend it. I'll tell you, it opened up my eyes, the fact that there are many what I thought were contradictions to the Bible, and this just opened everything up.
All the apparent contradictions end up getting resolved when you understand the whole story of the Bible.
Yes.
It's the story of the Bible that resolves the apparent contradictions. It's so fun. That's why we call it The Plot. All right. Anything else, Kevin?
Just wanted to thank you so much for your work and what you're doing. And the other day I made a pledge for you, and they were supposed to get back with me to let me get your address.
Could I put you on hold?
Sure.
We'll do that right now. Thank you so much. Line one. Now let's go to line seven here in Englewood, Colorado. Frank, welcome to Bob NYARD Live.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm listening to you on the radio, and it doesn't sound like I am listening to you on the radio. But anyway.
Yeah.
The point being, and I know you don't have much time, so I'll get right to the point.
Yeah.
You might wonder why all of this is going on with President Bush and with Roberts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there's a book that I highly recommend that you buy and read. It's called Fleshing Out the Skull and Bones.
Yeah, I don't put a lot of stock in that, Frank.
Well,
I just
there's pictures.
Listen, I've read probably a half a dozen books on conspiracies,
mm-hmm.
and None Dare Call Conspiracy and a bunch of John Birch Society stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the 60s, it was like a secret that, guess what? Some people in the government hate America, and they're pro-abortion, pro-homosexual. They don't even mind communists. Today, it's not a secret. They run for president.
Right.
So a conspiracy on the front pages of every paper in the country, it's just not reasonable. The reason that media organizations and our, universities and our politicians, the reason they act in concert together is because they have the same agenda. They don't care about God. They don't care about righteousness. They care about growing their own empire and immorality and turning people against God. So the Republican and the Democratic Party looks more and more alike as we proceed in history.
Well, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying, and that's exactly what the book says.
Yeah, but the skull and bone stuff, that's...
You think it's kind of hocus-pocus and kind of leading people...
It's silly.
It's kind of, yeah, silly, huh?
Yeah, but for example, you know, I once in a while somebody will send me a two-hour video on Elvis is still alive.
Oh, my God.
And you look at it, and if anybody watched it, half the people think he's still alive. Other people watch a special on TV that we didn't go to the moon, and they think we didn't go to the moon.
Yeah, I've read all those.
So virtually any topic you could read by somebody who's persuasive and think that's it.
So you think then that President Bush and John Kerry are the articles written about them in some of these books, etc., are not really true, that President Bush really is not anti-Christ, anti-Christian, that John Kerry is not really pro-gay and...
Well, they're both totally pro-gay. George Bush is totally pro-homosexual.
Okay.
And so is John Kerry. But we're out of time, Frank. But thanks. No. We'll talk about it more another time, right?
All right.
God bless you. Please
God
call us, 800-8-NER. That's 1-800-836-9278.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Hi, this is Bob Enyart with Real Science Friday. Did you know you could get CDs from us and listen to a year's worth of Real Science Friday shows on one CD? It is so much fun. In fact, I'm holding in my hand the Real Science Friday 2011 CD. It's an MP3 CD. You could download it from us, or you can get the MP3 CD, play it in an MP3 player, or even play it in a DVD player or your computer. So you can get it for 2011, 2010, all the way back to 2006. If you'd like, hundreds of Real Science Friday shows convenient on a single MP3 CD, and it'll support the airing of Real Science Friday. So just call us at 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278, or go online, realsciencefriday.com, and click on the store. And, of course, that'll help us continue to broadcast. May God bless you.